And now lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever, therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. And he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful and we praise you for this opportunity once again to read your word and to gather around the word of God. And I ask, Lord, that you would speak to each and every one of us. Lord, may there be something said this day, Lord, that would be heaven sent and a blessing, and something that would be helpful and useful in our lives. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. The blame game. Genesis chapter 3, as we read it here this morning, is where everything started to go wrong for mankind. Up to this point, God had made man in his own image, and God had given Adam the responsibility of taking care of the Garden of Eden. There was only one stipulation, that he wasn't to eat of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Apart from that, all was there for his use and for his own blessing. God looked and said it wasn't good for the man to be alone, and so he formed Eve out of a rib from the side of Adam. And the Bible says in verse 24 of chapter 2, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Up to this point, all's good. In fact, it's very good. The Bible says, as God looked at what he'd made, he said it was all very good. But then comes the challenge and the resultant fall of man. By the way, I believe these are literally true. I don't know whether you do this morning, but I believe this is a literal account. I was talking to a man during the week, and he said, look, he said, what I'd like you to do is just be a little less dogmatic about Genesis. He said, I think you need to be this little, don't be so literal about how you view it. And I said, well, I've really got a choice to make. It's either all or nothing. So it's either all true or none of it's true. I'm not prepared to just take a little bit of it, because then I'm in trouble as to which part's true and which part's not. I said, I believe it's all true. He said, well, there's no evidence to support it. I said, well, there's much evidence to support it. I said, if you look at the internal evidence alone, there is plenty to support it. And he said, well, I don't think so. I think maybe those 6 days, I don't think they were literally 6 days. I said, well, if they weren't 6 days, what were they? He said, well, it could have been just any period of time. I said, no, it couldn't have been that. I said, the internal evidence tells us that it couldn't be that. When God spoke to Moses and the children of Israel, he said to them regarding the Sabbath keeping, he said, I want you to keep the Sabbath. He said, this is an everlasting covenant between me and the children of Israel forever. But he said, I want you to do something. He said, I want you to work 6 days, and then I want you to rest for one day as I did in the beginning when I created the heavens and the earth. See, the man had said there was no witness as to what happened before the sixth day when Adam was made. I said, well, God was his own witness. So he said to Israel, I did it in 6 days and rested on the seventh, and I want you to follow that pattern. Oh, I said, and furthermore, you get into the New Testament, the Lord Jesus confirmed the account of Adam and Eve. And he quoted from the book of Genesis, literally. The Apostle Paul quoted from the book of Genesis as a literal account of Adam and Eve. And those things that had taken place there. Peter spoke about creation. And on it goes. I said, the internal evidence says that we must believe that it's literally true. And so I said, that's where I stand on it. I said, now outside that, we have external evidence as well. We spoke a little bit about that. So I say that because I kind of like to get that off my chest every now and then. It's just a blessing to know that we have the Word of God. It's not a fairy tale. It's not an allegory. He said, I think it's an allegory. I said, no, it's not an allegory. I said, it is literally true. Well, the scientists, and we won't go down that track, but I said, well, the scientists haven't proved anything. By the way, I did ask him about that Big Bang that they were supposed to be practicing over in Switzerland or Sweden or wherever it was. I said, what was the go with that? I said, I understand it was a failure. Oh, no, he said, it was money well spent. He said, they're going to do it again. They will discover something. I said, what are they going to discover? He said, well, they'll discover something that will be useful. I said, well, let me tell you something. Even if they get this Big Bang, whatever it is, to work, how does that prove the evolution theory? Oh, he said, I said, just a minute. He said, there's nobody alive today to tell us what was the... What